In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, all praise and thanks be to Allah. Praise and thanks that are equal to His bounties and that draw forth more blessings of Him. The best peace and the blessings may be on our Master Prophet Muhammad, his household members and companions. We are still commenting on the biography and life of Prophet Muhammad, and today we are speaking about the hijrah or the migration. The hijrah or migration is the movement of the Prophet or the transformation of the Prophet from Mecca to Al-Madinah. That movement or transformation was because of the increasing torture and persecution of the pagans against the Prophet and his followers, to the extent they tried to assassinate the Prophet, peace be upon him. In addition to the fact that it had been impossible to spread the message of Islam anymore among those people, the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, was sent for that mission, which is spreading the message of Allah to all people. And fulfilling that mission in Mecca has been or had been impossible. So the Prophet moved to Al-Madinah. His migration to Al-Madinah and choosing that place to migrate to was not by his own choosing or his own will or his own mind, but it was the choice of Allah and the revelation of Allah, and even by the planning of Allah. So Allah's revelation and plans are beyond defects or mistakes. Allah's plans are infallible. So that job and that migration must be successful. The Prophet's mind, which was great and which was wise, because he did everything at the right place and at the right time and in the right way, so the result would be successful and suitable and fruitful. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, found that there's no benefit anymore in calling these people, and after he persevered and was patient to the utmost extent, he moved by the permission of Allah to another city, and he did not migrate except after having that permission from Allah. So when you call to Islam, you must be in a great and strict with Allah. The Prophet gave the permission to his companions to migrate to Al-Madinah when the persecution and torture of the people of Quraysh increased against Muslims. The Prophet paved the way of migration to Al-Madinah by making two allegiances and two pledges with the people of Al-Madinah when they used to come to the pilgrimage in Mecca. So they promised him to defend him and his followers as they defend themselves, their families, and their honor. So the Prophet's plan was organized, was reasonable. Quraysh was the oppressor side. Quraysh was unjust. But the Prophet's work was good and it was righteous in all sides. So he was a great political leader. It is not a matter of only kind of ritual ablution or just reciting the words of the Holy Quran. But what's significant or more significant is to understand the Quran and to know how to use it and when to use it and how much to use of it. So if you, for example, press the gas pedal or the petrol pedal to the floor or never press it, press down on it, then you will be caught up by the enemies or you will have an accident. So the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, did or gave the permission to the Muslims to migrate because they used to torture them, persecute them, and yet they were so patient that they never compromised their faith. Why is that? Because of their faith. The faith that they got through forsaking their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope. As Almighty Allah says, their limbs do forsake their beds of sleep. The while they call on their Lord in fear and hope. And it is not a matter of certificates now, because now you can go to any place in Europe and they can give you, or they give you a certificate in Islamic law. So will you, or how could you take a certificate about Islam from non-Muslims? So where did Abu Bakr take his Islam from? So what will support you and what will reduce dangers and what will turn pains into pleasures to you is faith, is belief. And the Prophet says that none of you is a true believer until his inclination or wishes are in accordance with what I have brought. So they reached this status of faith. And the people of Al-Madinah, who are called Al-Ansar or the supporters, received the migrants and they shared them equally with their money. So they went halves with them. So they did not go there to be homeless or humiliated. No, the Prophet prepared everything for them. And yet they were decent and they were honorable. When the people of Quraysh knew about the migration, which was in secret, and when they knew that the Prophet sought the help of the people of Al-Madinah, they increased their torture and persecution on the Muslim weak people. And they started imposing more oppression and persecution on them. When the people of Al-Madinah committed to their pledge to the Prophet and they supported the Prophet and his followers and they received many of them, then the people of Quraysh got so angry and they started torturing the remaining Muslims in Mecca. And they started torturing them to the extent some Muslims apostatized, as Almighty Lord says, oppression and persecution are worse and severer than killing. So they used, for example, to tie their legs to a roof and burn animal dung under them to increase their torture and to change their faith. the weak remaining Muslims in Mecca faced severe kinds of torture and torment. So do you think Islam has come to you easily? Now you have all the means of comfort and ease. You have carpet, you have buildings, you have many things. Some others of the companions were homeless or got homeless and wanted by the Meccans. So they asked the Prophet to migrate, but the Prophet did not reply for 3 days. Why? Because the permission has not come yet from Allah. So Allah is the planner, the true doer, and the Prophet was only a kind of executor or executive officer. Then the Prophet said, I have seen or I have shown, yes, I have seen the place of your migration. It is a land which lies between two lava fields or beds, and around it there is or there are some salt marshes. If a sarat, a land which has salt marshes, then I would have said that it is it. But I was told about it, it is Yathrib. This is the old or the ancient name of Al-Madinah. So Yathrib has turned to be named Al-Madinatul Munawwara, or the illuminated city. Then the companions of the Prophet started migrating one after one, but all that was in secret. So before the migration, the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, made brotherhood contracts between the migrants themselves to console each other, to support and help each other. So now every Muslim at the times of hardships and difficulties have to support each other. And Islam did not impose these things on them by law or by force. No, it was only by love, by faith, by acceptance, and even by eagerness. So all the world was not worth a skin of an onion for them. So they were never attached to this worldly life. And if it was not for their patience and faith, then Islam would have not reached us. What will save Islam, what will save the world now is Islam, but not our Islam, which is tough or limited or sometimes restricted by some things, but the true Islam of the prophetic area. So the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, made brotherhood contracts among themselves to support each other with the truth. So if you are not on the true way, if you are not right, I will not support you, even if you are my own brother, because I will be only with the truth, because truth is dearer to me than my relatives. He made brotherhood contracts between Abu Bakr and Umar, for example. So if Abu Bakr has some money and Umar doesn't, then Abu Bakr would give him. He also made contracts of brotherhood between Zayd and Al-Abbas. Zayd was a servant or a slave at that time. And Al-Abbas was a great personality in Mecca. So the Prophet wanted to eliminate all differences and to remove all kinds of separation and discrimination, because the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Also, the Prophet made brotherhood contract between Sa'd and Mus'ab, a strong one and a weak one, a rich one and a poor one, an ignorant one and a knowledgeable one. So all that was to strengthen the society, to strengthen the Muslim community. Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, denied the brotherhood contract before the migration of the Prophet, and that it was only after the migration. No problem. Anyway, both might be right. And the first one to migrate was Abu Salama, and he is the first one who will be asked or called for easy reckoning on the Day of Judgment. Despite the fact that he was a companion of the Prophet, he will be brought to account. But the Prophet gave him the glad tidings that it will be an easy reckoning. Why? Because he was a true lover to Allah and His Messenger, a true believer. He committed to Islam in his mind, in his ideas, in his practice, in his life, in his intentions. He loved Allah and His Messenger truly. So if you go, for example, to the tailor, and if you truly love him and he loves you, will he make it easy for you or not? How much he will take from you? So he will give you a special price. And sometimes if there's much love, he might not take from you at all, and he might reject to take from you. As Almighty Allah says, He gives of His bounties, blessings and favors to whom He wills without limit, without measure. But if someone is called to account on the Day of Judgment and discussed or argued with about his deeds, will be tortured and beaten. So whoever will be called to account on the Day of Judgment about his or her deeds on that day will surely be punished, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said. But, of course, easy reckoning will not be by mere wishes. You must work and perform good deeds. The Prophet, for example, peace be upon him, once said that if Allah wants to punish me or brings me to account, me and Jesus, the son of Mary, because of what we have done, then He might torture us or He might punish us. Once the Prophet called on his servant, but she did not respond directly, and he had a stick, a wooden toothbrush, with his hand, and he said to her, if it was not for equitable retaliation or equality in punishment, I would have hurt you or caused you pain with this teeth or toothbrush. So he dared not hit one person with a siwak or a wooden toothbrush, fearing that Allah will punish him on the Day of Judgment. So if you give a lecture, for example, about the scorpion and about its sting, and speak about its poison and danger, and speak about the snake and its bite, then you put it in your sleeve or into your clothes, then what's the benefit of this knowledge or this lecture? For example, Nuh, peace be upon him, said, "Oh Lord, you have promised me to save my family members, and this is my son." Almighty Allah responded to him, saying, "He is not of your family. Verily, his conduct is unrighteous. So do not ask me that of which you have no knowledge. I admonish you lest you be one of the ignorance." So that son's relation to the Prophet did not help him when his conduct was unrighteous. So do not be deceived by mere certificates. A true scholar and a true sheikh is the one who has a strong connection with Allah, who has wisdom, who knows what to do in the right time and place. He has to be soft-hearted. But if, for example, he commits sins and he doesn't even feel that he has committed a sin, then he is a dead person. As Almighty Allah says, "Is he who was dead, and we gave him life and set for him a light of belief, whereby he can walk among men. Is he like him who is in the darkness?" So Abu Salama is the first one who will be called to account on the Day of Judgment, but it will be an easy account. Why? Because after he came to Mecca, after he migrated to Abyssinia, he was faced with torture from the people of Mecca, and he wanted to go back to Abyssinia. That's why the Prophet says about his companions, "If you spend or give in charity the amount of a mountain of gold, you will not be equal to a handful of their charity or to their full palms of charity." So they were so patient, they were so great people, and they sacrificed many things. When Abu Salama knew about Al-Ansar and the supporters in Al-Madinah, when he knew that they accepted Islam, he wanted to migrate to them, and he took his wife and his son. But some of his people or from the people of his wife saw him, and they said, "Oh Abu Salama, you can leave yourself, but why should we leave our daughter to leave with you? You can leave alone, but we will not let your wife leave and migrate with you." So they took the camel halter away and took his son and wife from him. Then the people of Abu Salama himself or his clan knew about that, and they said, "If you take his wife, why do you take his son? His son is our son." So they took his son Salama from his mother. So Salama had become with her family, and Salama had become with his father's family, and Abu Salama will be alone in Al-Madinah. So they separated and disunited this family because of their arrogance and disbelief. So a mother, a father, and their child were disunited and separated from each other. And she was for 1 year waiting to have her son. Then one of her family or of her clan intermediated and asked her family to give her permission to migrate, and she migrated and took her son with her. So she took her child on her lap and directed to Al-Madinah by herself in that desert in which there are great dangers. She never thought about any fears, about any dangers. That is true faith. So she went alone, and when she reached At-Tan'im, which is a place near Mecca, which is called now Aisha's mosques, she met Uthman bin Talha. He was the owner or the holder of the key of the Kaaba, and he was a pagan. He asked her, "Where are you leaving?" She said, "To Al-Madinah." He said, "Alone?" She said, "Yes." He said, "By God, I will not leave you alone." She said, "I only have my son and my Lord is with me." He said, "I will not leave you alone." So she migrated with him. And she said that when we used to reach a place to take a rest, he would make the camel kneel down and then tie it to a tree and lie down or recline under that tree, then wait until I get up or get on, until he made me reach Al-Madinah, and he didn't knew about, or he didn't knew me well. Yet she said, "I never knew anyone who is so chaste and so pure as Uthman." So he had great gallantry and chivalry, purity and chastity. Unfortunately, now there are some people who claim to be Muslims, yet they do not have such good morals. They are like the people about whom Allah says, the Bedouins say, "We believe," but say to them, "You have not believed, but you only surrendered, for faith has not yet entered your hearts." She said, "When I reached Al-Madinah, he said farewell to me, and he didn't enter Al-Madinah, and he went back until I got off the camel and said, 'Here you are, and you have been safe.'" And she was the first traveler to reach Al-Madinah, the first female traveler to reach Al-Madinah. Then Ammar, Bilal, Sa'd, and other companions of the Prophet migrated one after one in secret, and Al-Ansar supported them, received them, helped them, and consoled them. And may Allah send more blessings and raise the position of Prophet Muhammad and his household members and all of his companions, and all praise be to Allah, the Lord of all.